You know, I got an encouraging message. I'm live right now. It's Sunday night, and I'll be live next Sunday. Listen to me. Listen. I'm calling from my car. I am calling to agree with what you said. When God takes you home, it won't be because of cancer, in Jesus' name. I'd like to take about 3,000 calls like that. Now, I hope you have distinguished between the surgery tomorrow, which I reported, and if you missed the service and the report that came early in the service, it will replay again about 30 minutes from now. And the whole service will replay. We normally do not replay the Sunday morning service at the cathedral, Sunday night on Channel 56, because if you want to hear the current teaching, you make a reservation, come to the cathedral. But because I value your prayers and know the concern of our congregation, I decided to replay it at 7 and then replay it again, in case my carnal people were more busy looking at the ladies' gowns on the Emmy show at 7, you'd get another chance to look at this guy who never changes the style of his suit. I mean, you know, the stylists, they change. You can go out and spend money and buy suits before you can get impressed the first time to change the style. Not me. I take the same suit back to the tailor and say, make it the same way. Eventually the style will come back where I am. I'll live that long, too. But in case you missed the earlier part, the service with the report I gave this morning will replay in about 30 minutes. But I want to be sure that you understand there are two things I'm facing. Cancer, stage 4. That's going to be a long, long battle. And I was deadly serious this morning when I said, I can't wait. I wish I were not on live TV. I can't wait. I would use the language that I'd like to use. It would not even be cussing to describe the devil and demons. I can't wait to radiate. Can't wait to radiate the little devils. That program will be a 7-week program, 5 days a week. You'll be praying with me. As I said, I will keep my powder dry. Do that which I and my wife and you have to do. There are people in hospitals who have listened to me teach. Don't waver on the teaching. God made a covenant with His Son on Calvary. Nothing has changed in His Word. He picked up our sicknesses, our pains. The punishment for our well-being was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. In these many years of following after God, how often have you heard me preach about first thing I'll do when I get there is go to the corner store by the gate and buy God a watch. An alarm watch. I'd ask him, turnabout's fair play. When I settled the resurrection, I bought an alarm watch and set it to go off to remind me to think on and practice an awareness of His presence. When I get to heaven, I'm going to buy Him an alarm watch. Ludicrously saying, God's always either asking me to do something before I'm ready or arriving to deliver me too late, I think. But it always turns out to be His time. faith does not waver. I've been teaching you for weeks of the dialogue relationship that characterizes the lament psalms. You wouldn't have the name on them, lament psalms, if somebody wasn't lamenting. And the lament psalms are always lamenting because it looks like God's gone deaf or blind or off playing chess with one of the angels or running in a marathon in another section of the universe or another universe or maybe creating some other dumb line of Adamic type people somewhere else, though I don't think he's going to risk that again. And how many times, at least three times, I've preached the message of the storm that Paul was in when all hope was lost. Then the word of the Lord came. There are times I just might as well be honest, I shake my fist at God and say, "You saddest?" Then I thank him for not killing me and repent. Because he does look like he goes stone deaf on occasions. I'm not the only one that feels that way. How many of you feel that way? He's listening. He wants us to make it all the way. Ever increasing faith on the highway to Zion. There's a real penalty to longevity in the faith walk. In some respects, the second thing I want to, well, I've got a whole list of things to do when I get to heaven. I want to walk up to that thief and say, "You lucky so-and-so. You lucky so-and-so. You're lucky you died on that cross. If you had come down and been waiting for his resurrection, you have no idea the faith test he'd have put you through for another several years. Makes you want to be born and die." Because the further, how many times have you heard me say? The more mature the saint in God's book, the tougher the test. You know, I preached a message once on the end of the year, borrowed the theme from G. Campbell Morgan, who, by the way, someone just sent me a souvenir of his Diamond Jubilee, his 60th year in the ministry. I'm getting close. No, I'm getting close to my 50th. I aim to be preaching under those Jesus Saved signs on my 60th year in the ministry. I haven't got that much time. I mean, why should God treat G. Campbell Morgan better than me? I've been preaching his sermons for years. I took one of his sermons and preached it. The day, the last Sunday of the year, thou shalt remember, Moses' words, all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. And I've been reminding you as a congregation of the things that I have repeated over the years. I've taught you that the cross came at the end of Jesus' ministry, not at the beginning. You have the strange word, "He, as though he were disobedient." No, he never was disobedient. He just actualized at each test of the road became what would not have been had he not passed the test. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Phidia is the word in the Greek. Child train. But what a coach does. He makes you run one lap before he makes you run four. Or fight one round before you fight five. There's a penalty, as I said. The penalty of being a long time on the highway, the tests get tougher. The bumps in the road are there to climb, as one book is entitled. But the good side is, Romans 5, you thank God because the trials produce triedness. And you come to a point, you look back and say, I've been more through more than God could conceive with what's left of my life, and I made it this far, I'm making it the rest of the way. The toughness of triedness. Remember, I preached a sermon on jerky. Triedness is something that's been toughened. I mean, compare chewing a piece of jerky to a medium rare prime rib or filet. Some of you Christians are fresh meat. I feel sorry for you because God's got a lot of chewing to do on you. Make you into jerky, though that isn't the way you make jerky. He's going to take you through tests that produce jerky. The beauty of it is, I made it this far. I'm marching to Zion. I'm going out swinging. And the God who's never let me down, never let you down if you look back, is there when it appears he's not there. As Isaiah said, looking back, seeing God's hand without the tendency that we have to show off, in amazement, he declares, truly, thou art a God that hidest himself. You say, where are you? He's there. And his word never fails. And he is not angered. If anything, he's proud of you. When, like those psalmists who lament, you talk back to him, not for your sake, or not a quid pro quo, because you have no quid, as I said this morning. Because you do really care in an honest relationship with God about his word, and you believe he's faithful. And if he has any doubts about your belief, which is faith, you declare it to him. But you end those laments with some statement of faith. I know you've heard me, and I praise you for who you are. He is the Lord that healeth thee, and how he does it. Now, I want you to understand, the surgery tomorrow is not major life-threatening. At 75, I don't like being in the hands of an anesthesiologist and disappearing from apparent consciousness. I like to stare life in the face. But I have confidence in the doctor. He's the best. And he's using his regular anesthesiologist. I expect God to protect from all the side effects in various hospitals. You always have to worry about germs. I worry about people that do not have the response and the care and the help that I have, which avoids some of the exposure. and the waiting lines and the waiting rooms. For that I'm grateful. But I believe that He sends His angels before me. I don't want surgery to result in picking up something else, and I rebuke the thought of it and ask you to do the same. Any surgery at 75, any, not a local anesthesia, but a full anesthesia, is serious. The stent for this doctor is rather routine. I'm sure he could probably do it in his sleep. He's one of the best, if not the best. But distinguish between the blocked kidney, not completely, partially blocked, that has to be opened up, the drainage out of the kidney, into the bladder, and the rest of the trip. The left kidney has a partial block. That's what we're doing tomorrow. That blockage is to be opened up, removed, a stent put in. I have a stent in my heart, so you can remember. This always amazes me. That was more serious than the stent I'm getting tomorrow. But because they went through the arteries, or the veins, the arteries really, there are no nerves in the arteries. So they give you a local anesthetic for the pain of entering into the artery. And I'm laying there watching them go up into my heart and deal with the blockage up there. In fact, I'm joking and a little bit miffed while they're operating on me. They didn't appreciate the humor of my brilliant repartee while they're going inside my heart. This one I gotta go out. That always worries me. I use the word worry selectively. I have faith in God. You'll be praying, we'll be fasting. That's what I'm facing tomorrow. Pick tomorrow rather than earlier in the week. I expect to be fully recovered. If just the stent were involved, they can do that as an outpatient treatment. But there's more than the stent to open up the passage. So there will be full anesthesia. I'll be here next Sunday. You can count on that. You'll be praying with me. Now get on the phone and tell me you're going to do that. I also preached. I remember the Sunday following, the year-end Sunday. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. On the first Sunday of the following year, I preached, ye have not traveled this way before. In that message, I said, the present and the future, you take faith and are secure in it, because the look back reveals what, when it was going on, you didn't see as clearly. God does enter into all things to work His good, and He was there all the time. That's the security for the future. Now, I'm lucky. I have all of you praying. I want to hear your words of faith, but more importantly, I will really know you have faith if you make your reservations to be in the cathedral next Sunday, because I'm going to be there. And if I go on Sunday and you're not there, I'm going to wonder where you thought I would be. So the best way for you to express faith, my congregation, and those of you that have been listening to the teaching, you want to pick a Sunday to come to the cathedral, make your reservations right now. I want to look at this and see, before I leave here in about 15 minutes, how many people are making reservations expecting me to preach tomorrow. See, the week's getting shorter already. Expecting me to be preaching at the cathedral, teaching just as I did today, next Sunday in the cathedral, having gone through this phase, then we'll get ready for the big battle, which will follow to tackle the cancer. Now get on the telephone, make your reservations. You know, this is a special club. Wagner, Oklahoma. I know about Wagner. This is the first time I've been able to call from home on a Sunday in about 7 weeks. I've been in the hospital. We followed this. I've been in the hospital with cancer, and I'll be going in tomorrow for more treatment. I just want to tell Doc, hang in there, and I'm faithing for Doc's healing. And we're faithing for hers. This is a special club, you know. I never really wanted to join it, but God put me there. Because I think I've oftentimes sympathized with the people. I've been telling you for months, harder to keep a healing than to get it. I have sympathized with people that go to healing meetings. Do I think God heals them? Absolutely. That atmosphere of faith pulls from you or them, faith, the amen state, and God heals them. Then they go home out of that atmosphere. And it returns. And then they have to battle with their faith and belief that it really happened in the first place. Sure did. But if it's dependent upon an atmosphere instead of God's Word, you can't be in that atmosphere all the time. I'm perfectly willing and happy to share the experience. You know, it's one thing to talk the talk, it's another thing to walk the walk of keeping the faith. When it looks like, as I said earlier, God ain't looking your way right now. Oh, yes, He is. He's really looking to see if you lose your grip. He wants us hanging tighter, no matter what the circumstance. God's Word forever settled in heaven. So I'm in the club now with these that I've been telling them what to do in the circumstance. Now I'm there with you. Let's do it together. Get on the phone. I want your reservation for Sunday. That tells me you'll have faith. I'll be there. You know, I wonder how Joseph felt. He had God's Word. God appeared to him personally. Told him what was going to happen. His brethren, his family, his parents would bow down to him. Instead, they threw him in a pit, and his brethren did, and sold him into slavery. And he's forgotten in a prison because of lies. Psalm 105 says God sent a man to Egypt. He kept him there. He wants literal until iron entered his soul. Joseph has one little lament when you read his life story. He's in that prison and he's been forgotten and he sends a message out. I didn't do anything to get here. Sometimes it looks like God's not listening, but He is. Look at the greater end that Joseph had. Now, this little march, I want to tell you, not because I'm spiritual. I'm fasting under doctor's orders. I can't eat anything after midnight because I'm going into surgery at noon tomorrow. And then I assure him I'm not going to eat when the anesthesiologist knocks me out and whatever the doctor starts doing to me. And I'm quite sure I won't eat for some time thereafter. So, if I can do it because a doctor tells me to, surely you can fast because this doctor is telling you to, for my sake. So I'd like you to call and tell me how many of you will be fasting from midnight on tonight and praying God will take me through this, what follows, the battle with cancer stage 4. Give me and God and you time. We'll handle that. This one has to be treated immediately. And as I said, it's not really as serious as the heart surgery I had some 7 years ago. but I still want your prayers. I want this behind me so that I then can tackle the bigger issues with faith, and I want to come out of it quick enough to be at full strength the rest of the week and certainly for Sunday at the cathedral. So make your reservations to be in the cathedral and tell me by phone how many of you will be fasting tomorrow while I fast to get ready for surgery. You fast to ask God to do his healing work in addition to whatever the surgeons are doing.